With his Holy, holy, holy. Today we're going to talk about praying to the one that is holy, holy, holy. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. As we read earlier, we're going to be talking about verses 5 through 8 today. Have you ever felt unsure that your prayers were working? Have you ever felt unsure that your prayers were being heard? Have you ever wondered that you were praying wrong? Well, you're not alone. Even the disciples of Jesus were not confident in their prayers. You remember in Luke 11, they told Jesus, they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And what is that coming from? A heart is unsure. It's uncertain. Now, they asked the right one. That's important to know who to ask your questions to. But before Jesus teaches them how to pray, he first teaches them something else: how not to pray. Have you ever seen a warning label that made you laugh? Caution, hot on a coffee cup. Do not wear the shirt while you're ironing it. Or one of my favorites: do not use the hairdryer while you're in the bathtub. It seems silly that we have these warnings, doesn't it? But do you know why we have these warnings? Because somebody has tried it. And so Jesus has given us a warning today, because he knows that we struggle, and he knows sometimes we don't always get things right. In Matthew 6, 5 through 8, Jesus shows us the two biggest mistakes that cause us to waste our prayers. And he also gives us the one way to make sure they're actually heard. Our one goal today is this: don't waste your prayers. If you don't want to waste your prayers, by all means, do not pray only to be seen by others. Do not pray only to be seen by others. Look at verse 5. Jesus says, "When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that, for the reason, they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full." Let's break this down a little bit. The first part, Jesus identifies hypocrites. If you were here last week, we spent a little bit more time on what is a hypocrite, but basically it's a masked person. You have one person on the inside, but then you grab this mask, and just like an actor in a play, you put it over your face, and then you try to show that you're somebody else when you put your mask on. It's hiding who you really are. Jesus identifies two locations for the prayer. The first is the synagogue. In worship, somebody might be called upon to stand up in front of and pray aloud before the whole congregation. The other situation or scenario that Jesus sets up for us are the street corners. At the daily times of prayer for a Jew, it would have been at 9 a.m., at 12 noon, and 3 p.m., a person could just so happen to find themselves on a very crowded street corner, and they're so pious that they would just have to stop there on the street corner and pray aloud for everybody to hear their prayers. Do you see what Jesus is talking about? A show. The problem wasn't the location. There's nothing wrong with praying in a synagogue. There's nothing wrong with praying on a street corner. The problem is the motive, the heart, that Jesus continues to go week and week back to. And if they weren't loving God with a pure motive, who were they praying to? What did they love so much? Well, Jesus is going to get to the heart of that. They love the spotlight. Pretend that I've got a spotlight on you guys. I'm really shining it. They love it. Stop it on me so everybody can see me. They love the praise of men. Oh, how pious. A man of God. What a man of God. Look at him praying there. But behind their piety lurked their pride. Look at me. What they wanted wasn't God's presence, it was people's praise. And Jesus says, you got it. But the problem is that's not a real reward. But Jesus says that's the only reward that you're going to get, is the praise of the people who you wanted to see you doing what you didn't even mean. So what's the big deal with praying like this? When we pray like this, the number one problem, I think, and there's many problems, but I'm going to bring it to this one, we're not talking to God. Therefore, we're not really even praying. You see what Jesus is teaching? We're just mumbling words in the air. We're just filling our minds with thoughts. These true prayers are not making it to the Almighty, the only one that can do anything with them. They're never making it above the ceiling above your head. And here's another problem. When we use God as our prop, when we use God as a fashioning tool, we're using Him. We're not praising Him, we're not honoring Him, we're not glorifying Him in any way. We're just using Him to try to make ourselves look better. Have you ever realized when somebody was using you? Think about it for just a minute. Just a minute. Because I'm pretty sure everybody in here has been used by somebody else. Go back to that moment. How did you feel? Were you just tickled to death wanting to give them a big old hug for using you? Is God supposed to feel any different in that moment than we are? No. But that's all this is. We're just using God for our own gain. A gain that, congratulations, is an attaboy. A pat on the back, a rub on the head. When we pray only to get attention from others, the spotlight is on us. When we genuinely pray to God, the spotlight is on Him. Who deserves the spotlight? Only one of these prayers reaches heaven, and that's the authentic prayer from your heart to God. Before you pray, ask yourself, who am I really talking to right now? Is it God? Carry on. If it's something else, just forget about you wasting your time. Examine your motive. Examine your heart. Am I seeking applause from people or intimacy with God? Don't measure the worth of your prayer by how many people hear it, but whether or not He hears it. Do not pray only to be seen by others. If you don't want to waste your prayers, by all means, here's the second thing. Do pray in your inner room. Do pray in your inner room. Verse 6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Is Jesus teaching us here something? You, your. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus shifts from warning to instruction. Instead of a public performance, He says, leave the public square and go to your inner room. Go to a secret place that nobody knows about and where nobody can even find you. Now, here, let me say this first. Jesus is not condemning public prayer. He's not saying that there's never a time that we're not to pray publicly, and I'm going to prove that to you. The psalmist, back in the Old Testament, captures our heart for our prayer if we do pray publicly. Psalm 27:8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. That's in public, that's in private. The main thing is that we should be seeking the face of the Lord when we pray. Now, did Jesus pray publicly? Let's just go to the ultimate example. Did he pray in public? Let's go to the cross. The last public example before his death. Luke 23:34. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That is Jesus' short prayer in public on a cross right before he gave up his life for you and for me, asking God in a short prayer to forgive their ignorance. They do not even know what they're doing, God, but would you forgive them? Although publicly, Jesus was authentically seeking the face of God and desiring him to forgive the sins of humans. Jesus did pray publicly. Why does Jesus emphasize secrecy in prayer? Why is he saying that secret is good? Two reasons. There's more, but these are two. Because secrecy reveals sincerity. When no one else is watching, your prayers prove whether you truly want God. They prove it, don't they? Why else would you be there? Nobody's here to watch. Nobody's even here to hear it. And sometimes the most powerful prayers are prayed with no one around, no audience, only you and God alone. If someone prays only during public gatherings, yet they never prayed at any other time, would you question their motive? I would. Like the National Day of Prayer. Sometimes it's the only time in this nation out of 365 days a year that we feel like that it's okay to pray. Is it just another day? Is it just a box to check? Or are we truly seeking the face of God one time a year publicly? And should that be the only time that we seek God publicly, asking Him for help with our nation? I hope that they're praying more than just one time, but if that was the only time of year that they prayed, I would question it and wonder if it was truly authentic. But now let's turn that upon us. Let's not get on other people. Let's bring it right back home. Is your life reflective right now of kind of a national day of prayer, kind of a one-time thing? Or are you yourself spending multiple times each day praying God? Are you seeking His face authentically and purely multiple times a day? We can evaluate ourselves the same way that we would evaluate a national leader. Secret prayer strips away doubt, distraction, and performance. It's not about the sound of your voice, it's about the direction of your heart. And Jesus promises, your Father sees what is done with secret, and not only will He see it, He will reward you. Now, like last week we talked about this, our motive shouldn't be to seek a reward at all times. Like, we're not bent just to get a reward from God. That shouldn't be our motivation in our heart. And I want to give a warning right here, because sometimes the prosperity gospel leaves the farm in this arena. I do not believe Jesus means reward to intend that God is going to answer every prayer that you have like a genie. If you're in here today and you're saying, no, I did get in the secret place. I did authentically ask God, but yet He didn't answer that prayer, so what you're saying is not true. No, a reward doesn't mean that He's going to give you everything that you ask for. I'm thankful that God has not given me some things that I have asked for, amen? Sometimes God rewards us by not giving us what we think we need, and I'm going to get to that here in just a little bit more. So let's make it real. Here's some applications for what we have here. This week, the first one, I want to encourage you to find your inner room. Find your secret place, a place where it's you and God. Mine is in my house, in the basement, in a corner, at a desk. Every morning, I'm sure I've missed at some point, so don't let me go straying off, but my goal is for every morning when I get up, before everybody wakes up, before the house comes alive with those beautiful girls, that I go down there, I open God's Word, I meditate upon God's Word, and then I spend time with Him, talking to Him personally about whatever is needed, whether it be a prayer list, a prayer need at church, something in my family, asking forgiveness of my sins, and I spend that time in a quiet place with Him. And if you don't have that moment, I want to encourage you to strive for it. Find that secret place and go to it every day and spend time with a pure heart with you and God. The second thing I would encourage you to do is to shut the door. Now this can be, I don't have a door around my desk, so I can't really shut a door. But shut the door against distraction, shut the door against hurry, shut the door against opinions of other people. I'm going to give you some suggestions, and you can take them or leave them. I'm not telling you what to do, but all of these have helped me. I suggest avoiding the temptation to look at any media or social media before you go into your secret place. If you put your phone by your bed, leave it there when you wake up and walk away from it. Don't turn on the TV, don't look at it. Basically, what I'm encouraging you to do is don't put anything in your mind before you can just give it to God. Secondly, I suggest your phone to be left behind or out of reach or out of hearing. See, this iPhone knows what gets your attention, those red dots and those sounds, and they don't stop. Bing, bing, bing. And you know what each sound means. And if you're trying to pray and be in your secret place and those things keep going off, how much focus do you think you're going to have? Intermittent at best. Thing three, I suggest taking a moment to breathe and just clear your mind before you get started. Don't go in thinking, well, I got 5 minutes, God. I gotta, and I know I'm supposed to be doing this, and I know I'm supposed to be doing this, and then I gotta do this. After, just take a deep breath. God can handle all the things, and He's well aware of all that's ahead of you. And just clear your mind and get in there with God and talk to Him. I suggest pausing and focusing on getting back on track should your thoughts derail to the dishes in the dishwasher, to the dishes that are in the sink. To what clothes am I going to wear today? What did I send lunch with my kids? Did I call that person back? See, that's the way, if your mind's anything like mine, as I'm in prayer, oftentimes those things try to find their way in, and they'll jump in there, and they'll derail me, and next thing you know, I'm thinking about something that happened 2 weeks ago when I'm supposed to be praying to God. I'm not coming down on you because I'm right there with you, but here's what I would just, I'm going to give you this. When that happens to me, and it happens often, I just stop. A lot of times I say, God, I'm sorry I started thinking about that. And I just start back fresh with a new focus. So if you get derailed, just take a moment, get your focus back, and get back to you and God again. Third thing, seek God's face, not the spotlight. God delights in meeting you where no one else can see you. Do pray in your inner room. Our third truth, if you do not want to waste your prayers, by all means, do not meaninglessly babble. Y'all ever babble? Let's start with verse 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Meaningless repetition truly translates to babel. Utter meaningless sounds. Speak incoherently. Literally, the sound would be this, and it's going to be familiar to you all. Blah, blah, blah. Y'all remember Charlie Brown's teacher? Wah, 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 wah. That's kind of what I think of. Is that what we want our prayers to be filled with? Wah, 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 wah. Not me. Meaningless repetition was a practice of those who worship false gods. Is that what we want to be like? Do we want to practice after those who worship false gods? I don't. Elijah's encounter with the prophets of Baal, you'll remember this in 1 Kings 18:26. Then they took the ox which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, answer us. And there was no voice, and no one answered, and they leaped about the altar which they made. Vain repetition to a false god for hours. And did he answer? No. Now let's talk about the repetition. Paul's encounter with the worshipers of Artemis in Ephesus, Acts 19:34. But when they recognized he was a Jew, a single outcry arose from them all as they shouted for about 2 hours. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! Great is Artemis! Man, I done got tired of that after about 3 times. 2 hours? But they believed in it. They believed in vain repetition. That is not what God calls us to do. He does not call us to pray to Him in vain repetition. Babbling is the practice of false worshipers and should not be the practice of Christians today in 2025. Does the Bible teach elsewhere to not use vain repetition and babbling? Ecclesiastes 5:2. I love Ecclesiastes. Do not be hasty or quick in word or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter in the presence of God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Why is meaningless repetition such a problem? Because it mistakes many words for meaningful prayer. Many words for meaningful prayer. It treats God like He's hard of hearing. Huh? I don't think God says, huh, do you? Or it's like that you've just got to whittle God down before He'll answer your prayer. If I just keep whittling, if I just keep saying the same phrase over and over again, eventually He'll just wear out and then He'll hear and answer my prayers. Not it. God is not impressed by our vocabulary or our volume. He's moved by our sincerity, our heart, our pure motivations. He wants our hearts, not our empty words. Verse 8, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. That's comforting. God knows our needs, but He has also chose to only grant some of those needs at certain times. Have you thought about that? Let's go to the book of James. Chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you can spend it on your own pleasures. James tells us two key things. Number one, God has not given us some of the desires of our hearts because we've not asked Him for them. So as you look back on the things that you're missing, the things that you really need, have you even prayed to God about it? Have you took it to the throne room? Have you went and got in your secret place and asked God out of a pure motive, can I have X? But we can't just take that one without the other, or we're going to get to going down the wrong path. The second thing, God has not given us some desires of our hearts because our very motives for wanting them are impure. Now, I know I'm in here with a bunch of pious Christians this morning that have the best motivation and the purest hearts. But have y'all ever asked for something you know good and well you didn't need? I got one. Andrew and I have prayed to God and asked for something that we didn't need. For the rest of you non-truth tellers, I remember in my early 20s, I had been reading, I had heard something about this verse, and I thought, man, you have not because you asked not. Okay. Now, I wasn't in a good place with my walk with the Lord. I'm going to be totally honest with you, and you can probably hear that by my request. I thought, you know what I'd really like to have? You know what Philip Brimmerman needs? $1 million. You're laughing. I'm being serious. I thought, well, I've never prayed for $1 million. I might well pray for it and see if God wants to give it to me. So I did. I said, God, will you give me $1 million? You may have guessed, God did not give me $1 million. If God had given me $1 million in my early 20s, it would have been like watching The Prodigal Son Part 2. I'd have spent it on all the desires of my heart, my wrong heart, and I'd been eating with the pigs and wondering, how did I just spend $1 million? God did not give me $1 million because God knew I didn't need $1 million. I think Garth Brooks may have said it best. You want me to sing it or say it? I can't get y'all to amen me half the time. I say one thing and then y'all want me to sing. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. I mean, hey, appreciate it. I'm not here for your applause. No, I'm just kidding. Although Garth Brooks is not a theologian or a biblical scholar, what he sung there is true. And I, too, thank God for unanswered prayers. But here's what I want to say about that. Is it unanswered? No. That prayer is answered. He answered it by not giving you something that you didn't need. You see what I'm saying? Don't waste your prayers trying to twist God's arm. Prayer isn't about convincing God. It's about trusting God. Prayer isn't about empty words. It's about honest faith. Three applications. When you pray, speak plainly. Don't babble. Don't worry about sounding fancy. Talk to Him. He knows you. He made you. And He wants to hear from you plainly. Don't repeat words to fill the silence. We've been talking about this in Sunday school. Let silence become part of your prayer. It's in silence that God may want to say something back to you. Trust that God knows what you need before you ever say a word, and that He is good enough to give you what is best. Don't or do not meaninglessly babble. So don't waste your prayers. At the end of the day, Jesus is telling us prayer isn't about impressing others. Prayer isn't about formulas. Prayer isn't about performance. Prayer is about intimacy with your Father who already knows you and loves you. Hypocrites wasted their prayers chasing applause. Pagans wasted their prayers chasing formulas and false gods. But children of God never waste their prayers because every sincere word is heard by our Father. Check your motive. Am I praying for God's ears or people's ears? Find your secret place. Where can you close the door and get with God? Pray with confidence. Confidence that God already knows what you need and what is best for you before you ever even utter it. Andrew, you and the team can come up. I would like to leave you with a contrast, maybe a little visual. Christmas will be here before you know it. And when you think of Christmas, there's probably a jolly fellow that you also think about. He goes by the name of Santa Claus. That's the opposite example of what I'm trying to show you. God is not like Santa Claus where we can go and climb in his lap and present our list of all our desires to him and know that on Christmas morning he's going to be bringing all those things, all the desires of our heart, whether we need them, whether we don't, and placing them in our living room. That is not the role of God. I hope you've experienced the picture I'm fixing to paint. Unlike Santa Claus, God is like that good father or grandfather that you know is sitting in the living room in his chair, and you know he loves you. And you can go in there and you can climb up in his lap and he'll wrap his arms around you and he'll look you in the eye. And you can tell him what's on your heart and what's on your mind and tell him what you need that he can help you with and that's best for you. And he'll give you a big hug and he'll go in and help you with it. But that same one knows what you don't need and ain't going to give it to you at the same time. God's like that loving Father that we can go to and take our most deepest needs to, and he'll help us in our times of need. During our time of response, we got one more song that we're going to play that they've prepared for us. But what I'd like to challenge you with is just to reflect and think about, really, what is your prayer life right now? Where are you with your prayer life? Do you need to find that place? Do you need to check your heart with the way that you're praying? There's a lot here today that we can apply to our lives and improve our prayer lives. And during this time, I just call you to reflect upon that. Maybe it is time to pray. Now's a great time to pray. You can pray right where you are. You can come down front. But that's what I would encourage you to do in the next moments is reflect about your prayer life, to spend a little time praying to God, and spend a little time worshiping Jesus one more time before we conclude today. I'll be down front if you have any need.